Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? In another way we could put it, isn't it good to be with the house of the Lord? We get confused and we think of steel and concrete and carpet and chairs. The point is that you're here. And because you're here, those of you that are born again, you can convey and carry with you the very presence of the Lord. And what happens when we come together in a room and that divine conspiracy to honor and worship the Lord? Well, Jesus has a way of assembling with us. Isn't that interesting? He said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the earth." He will never leave us or forsake us. And when we come together in His name, focused upon Him, entering into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, the atmosphere changes. Something happens. That's the glory of the church, isn't it? Aren't you glad you can be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, we're glad we can be a part of Vision Church. We're glad we can be here and worship together as this local body of believers. But aren't you glad to be part of that mystical, cosmic, spectacular, and mysterious, and wonderful plan of God called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? May I remind you that Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my what? My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." His is a triumphant church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and I am so glad to be a part of that and to be going to heaven with people like you. Don't be offended, though. As much as I want to see your new glorified body and how impressive we all are going to be, I want to see Jesus. I want to look at Jesus and hear His voice. That which has been participated in by faith is one day going to become sight. And we will see Him. And we will be with Him. And we will be like Him. Meanwhile, He's got a plan by His Spirit to be changing us into that image. Isn't that a glorious image? And so we have something to look forward to all along the way as we enjoy that. We're looking at the great cosmic mystery of the church. We've been talking about cosmic Christianity. And so what I did this morning is just made a list real quick of what we've covered already in the book of Ephesians. And we're talking about those eight blessings. We're blessed in heavenly realms. Where? In Christ. We're chosen in Him to be holy and blameless. We're predestined to adoption as sons through Christ. There is redemption in Him through His blood. Number 5, made known the mystery of His will that He had purposed in Christ. And what is one of the great mysteries of His will? That He has a plan for taking everything in the heavens and in the earth and bringing them back together into unity. Boy, we could just blow our minds just looking at the idea of what happened in the heavens and then what happened in the physical realm because of the fall, but what is happening by God's grace to bring it all back together through the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, all to the glory of God. Amen? That sixth blessing is that the first to hope in Christ. And we're talking about the people of Israel, the Jews, the first to hope in Christ might be for praise to God's glory. And we touched on this last week, and I want to pick this up, the blessing number 7 and number 8, as we finish out this message on cosmic Christianity, that we're going to talk about the Gentiles, which are included in Christ, and go on to discuss that sealing, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, of the Spirit. On number 7 there says, and let's all say this together. It's a small verse. Let's just all say it together. It's right there for you to see. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now this "you" and this "your," the Apostle Paul is targeting very specifically to everybody that's a Gentile. Do you know, in God's Word, we have this understanding. There's only two groups of people on the earth, the Jew and the Gentile. Within the context of the covenant with Abraham, There are those who are Jews and those who are not. Now, there is a word you might have heard before, goy or goyim, which speaks of the nations. And so within the Jewish understanding, they understand that they are the people of God's promise, and then there are the others. Now, how many of you like be called, referred to as the others? Huh? No, we don't like that. We don't like to be described as, well, there's them and then the others. There's something about that that just, it says second place. It says afterthought. It says, we really don't have a place for you. Well, there's this and then there's the others. If you go to a motel and say, do you have a room for us? Well, all of our rooms are booked up. We have this other room, though. Well, I'm not so sure how desperate I am and what kind of room that is. And when we hear this word, and you also were included in Christ. Everybody say included. Now let's look on the happy side. I don't know about you, but I like to be included. If you take two words side by side, excluded and included, I like the idea of being in, not ex, or in, not out. I would like to be with the in crowd. I like to be on the inside baseball, inside scoop, inside track. I like this idea of being included. And he says, and you also, he's directing this now to the Gentiles, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, this was an astounding idea. This idea was so mysterious and so astounding that a man who spent 3 years with Jesus in his ministry still had problems grasping it, and it required an open vision from heaven of a sheet being laid down in front of him filled with unclean animals, as recorded in the book of Acts. And this Peter, the fisherman, this Peter, the disciple, this Peter, the apostle, this Peter who preached the first message as a Pentecostal preacher in Acts chapter 2 and saw several saved, thousands eventually saved because of his ministry and the power and the boldness of the Spirit, still had some changing and transformation that needed to happen in his life. And he that had required the Lord to lay down a vision in front of him, a sheet, and in it all the unclean animals. And he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord, I have not eaten unclean food. And this was what he was talking about. You're looking at the Gentiles as other. You're looking at the Gentiles as outside of the plan of God. You're looking at the Gentiles as those who are outside of the promises of Israel. You're looking at them as outsiders. You're looking at them as not having a part. And this radical idea that Jesus was constantly trying to present them with for 3 years, they still hadn't gotten it. But aren't you glad Jesus is patient and knows how to break through? And so Peter has this vision and then goes and preaches the gospel to Gentiles. And when he preaches the gospel to them, they believe and receive his message about the gospel, and then they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Peter is able to come back and say, whoa, wow, who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? This is amazing. We were able to go and speak to Gentiles about Jesus, who died on the cross for their sin, was laid in a borrowed tomb, was raised again on the third day, God proving that he had accepted penalty for their sins. And they all believed it, and this is how we know they believed. They all had the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And so now we know that God is not a discriminator between people. Wow, what a revelation! Aren't you glad for that revelation? As a result of that, the gospel began to go into the uttermost parts of the earth like never before. And it's not long and before a super majority of the church are Gentile believers. Now, those Jews, those original Jewish believers, find themselves not only in a minority, but in a super minority. Because why? Because God is the God of inclusion. He wants people to be involved. Now, I want to point this out a little bit more for you. And we find in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10, and then Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24, a parallel story. And each time in each of these Gospels that this appears, In Matthew's gospel, it appears after Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem and has cursed the fig tree. After he has lamented that they have missed their day of visitation. In Luke chapter 14, we find after Jesus proclaims Jerusalem as a desolate house because they didn't know their day of visitation, it's after these two events that the same story is told, one in Matthew's gospel and the other in Luke's gospel, and it's the story of the great banquet. And it goes like this. There was a man, a king, who had a son that was going to get married, and so he put on a great feast, a great banquet. And he sent out invitations to certain people in town. How many of you ever sent out an invitation? Right? And say, okay, we have a room for 100. We're going to send these out. We've sent out so many because we think so many won't come and so on and so forth. But here's what happened. Now, what's your desire? Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a party, let's say I have a room of 20 and I want to have 20, I want to have everybody there. Why? Because it just feels better. There's something about that the Lord wants His house to be full. I'm looking forward to the days when here at Vision Church, we find every chair full. I'm looking forward to in these days when we can say, you know what, we're going to have to do something. Maybe we have to have two services. How are we going to do this until we get a building built and so on and so forth? Let's put the pressure on. Amen? Let's invite people to the banquet. And so he sends out his invitations and then he goes and asks, are you coming? RSVP, respondez s'il vous plaît. And he goes and finds out, are you coming or not? Please let me know. And when he sends out his servants, he goes to the people that he has chosen to come to his banquet and said, I've invited you, and here's what he gets. Excuses. Oh, I just bought a field, got to go check it out. How many of you heard some excuses? How many of you heard some lame excuses? Don't point at anybody. But man, as human beings, we really can come up with excuses. I used to have a lady in my church in eastern New Mexico. I just appreciate her honesty. One Sunday, she wasn't there. Now, when you have a congregation of 30 to 40 people, you really notice if somebody's missing. Even if you're just not hearing their snoring from the customary corner of the room. I mean, you miss it when they're not there. So the smaller the congregation or group, the more aware you are when somebody's not there. And so, I mean, it was really a premium. And that room was big enough that it didn't feel full until you were closer to 70. And so, you know, it felt empty. We were marbles knocking around in a box, and they weren't there that Sunday. So later that week, I see her. She's running the pet shop in town. Her husband's a mechanic. So I happen to go. I used to love to get the burrito from All Subs. So me and the kids would get a burrito, and her pet shop was right next door around the corner. We'd stop by. Hey, Shirley, how you doing? Missed you Sunday. She goes, I know, Pastor, I ran out of mayonnaise. I stopped and went, just like you. What? You ran out of mayonnaise? What does that have to do with church? She goes, Pastor, all of the excuses I've ever heard for people missing church, the bottom line was, I just didn't come. I don't have an excuse. And so that's just as good as any I've heard. And I went, thank you, Shirley. Will I see you Sunday or are you going to be out of mayonnaise again? Can I buy you a jar? And so from that point on, that was our little joke. Hey, you anticipating being out of mayonnaise? Do I need to buy you a gallon jug? What do we need to do here? We hear those excuses, and boy, have we heard some lame ones. Now, this is a great banquet, a great feast. This is an important man in town, and Jesus is telling us the story of what God is offering to Israel. He's offering to Israel for them to be the invited guests with gold embossed invitations with their names impressively printed upon this. This is not just an 8.5 by 11 handwritten with marker, Fifi is lost, please find her. No. This is top of the line. I've done everything. I've spared no expense. I'm asking you, are you going to come? And these invited guests respond, sorry, got married. Me and my wife are spending time together. I just bought oxen. I got to try them out. I've got to go out. I've got a new boat. I've got to go on vacation. Whatever it is, They come up with their excuses. And so here's what he says to his servants. I want my house to be full. And I'm in the inclusion business. And so, I want you to go out into the side roads. I want you to go into the highways, the hedges. I want you to go to the bitter dregs of humanity. I want you to go to the least and the last. I want you to even go to the Gentiles. Because I want my house to be full. That's what the Father wants. Doesn't he have a big heart? He has a great heart. He loves people. And he wants to include them in his joy. He wants to include them in what he has. Now, very often, now if you are the Jewish people in that story, and Jesus is telling this in a very pointed way, and he is pointing it to his intended audience, the Jews. He's warning them that though they have been invited, they are excluding themselves from the greatest thing that's ever been offered to humanity. And the Father is looking and seeking and saving that which is lost. What matters to him is that he has a plan for everyone and he wants to bless them. He wants to pull them into relationship with himself. And he has spared no expense. He's offered his only son. He has made every provision so that they can be in relationship with him. They were the invited. But the rest of the people, and when the banquet actually happens, what we meet is we meet a super majority of the included. You see, if you ever get those faxes and emails that say, for a limited time, $99 round trip to the Bahamas. Here's what happens. They go and sell a trip, and they have 10 or 15 extra seats. Now, any businessman knows any money's better than no money. And so what you're getting is an invitation to be the included. There's other people that are actually paying more to do that. They've gotten involved in a deal, but now there are some less desired seats. There are some seats that somebody else didn't want. But I'm telling you, I'd rather be at the game than not at the game. I'd rather be in Jamaica than not in Jamaica. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm not going to quibble with whether I was the very first person invited on that trip or the very last person that made it in the door. Let me tell you the glorious news. We're going to Jamaica. And we're all going to fly and depart at the same time. We're all going to land at the same time. We're all going to the same place. And if I have to sit beside a screaming baby for 2.5 hours, I can do it to be on the sands in Montego Bay and to visit Lamb's Rivers Church, right? Amen. So it's like, who cares if I was the first invited or the last invited? The bottom line is, I get to go. So very often we kind of look at it and say, I don't know if I just want to be included. I don't want the teams to be made up and then have the gym teacher and say, oh, wait, there's another group. We've got to include them. We want to have everybody. And there were times, as I told you, I was deeply scarred in my childhood with being one of those that was just included. Not first picked. But I want to tell you something. When you're on the winning team, even if you stink, it's a lot better to be included. I'd rather be included in the victory on the team when I didn't participate much and I didn't make that much difference. But I want to tell you something. There's people who got to play 1 minute in the Super Bowl and they wear the same ring as the guy who played for 40. Amen? It's about being included. And so the inclusion has the appearance of being an afterthought, a second place, or asked because no one else has accepted. I'm just wondering how many ladies in this room would like to know that you were actually the 25th woman that he asked to be his wife, but he went through 24 who all said no before finally he was desperate enough to ask you. No, that doesn't sound too good. Right? Well, you know, I was so desperate, I agreed to spend the rest of my miserable life with you. No. We don't want to look at it that way. We don't want a deal where we're just an afterthought, just included. But I'm here to tell you some great news. God has no afterthought. What was God's plan all along? His plan all along was to invite, realizing that there would be those who would turn him down, but that he could include everybody. I'm not going to quibble over whether I got an invitation that was gold embossed sent to my mailbox, or a servant came to my house and knocked on the door. The point is, there's a party, there's a banquet, God is in charge, His Son has been offered us up for us all, He's offering us eternal life, and whether we get the gold embossed invitation, or a servant coming and knocking on the door, or dragging us out from behind the dumpster where we sleep, the bottom line is that I can accept this invitation, I can be included, and I can be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. So let's not quibble about it. I don't know about you, but I'm thanking God. As a Gentile, I'm included. Man, if this is included, give me some more of that. Because God is first class. He serves us with the very same grace, the same blessings. He has it all in store for us. And whether we've been invited or included, we all have adoption to sonship. We all have these powerful blessings. And we have this great blessing of being called the included. Now I want to move on to number 8. Look at your neighbor and say, doesn't it feel good to be included? That's the word of the gospel to the Gentile. You're included. God has included you. But it's not when He came to zero hour. He included you from the beginning. He had that door open for you in the beginning in Christ. The Jews just couldn't see it. It was the mystery. Paul calls it a mystery that was hidden for ages, that angels couldn't figure out. Abraham didn't know it. Think about that. Jeremiah didn't know it. Isaiah didn't know it. These other men that were testifying of God's goodness and what He was going to do, the Bible tells us over and over and over and over, these prophesied not understanding what the Spirit in Christ was saying within them and pointing to. But how blessed are we? Because here we are after the cross, after the resurrection of Jesus, and now with the power of the Holy Spirit operational in our life, we can say, we are included. I am included in the family of God. I am included in heirship with Christ. I am a son of God. I am adopted into sonship. And whether Jew or Gentile, we come by faith. Whether it is by gold embossed invitation or a knock on the door from a servant, or attract, we come by faith. So let me move to this 8th blessing. Just kind of summarizes us, and maybe we can just marinate in this and allow this to just seep into our heart. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, was that verse number 14? Having believed, you were marked. Everybody say marked. Everybody. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. Everybody say deposit. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now, this is a rich passage, and I think we need to take this apart and be careful because people have run through this and run off the rails. But I think with just a little careful steps through here, we can just have something unfold. And I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that You just reveal this into our spirit. We just need to eat some bread from heaven this morning. I love Far Side cartoons. Okay? I grew up on Gary Larson, Far Side cartoons. There's one where two deer are talking, leaning up against the tree as deers do when we're not seeing them. One has a target pattern of hair on his body. Perfect target. And the other deer's looking at him and says, bummer of a birthmark, Stu. Yeah. Bummer of a birthmark. You ever done something, or remember some people talk about this when, hey, listen, I dare you to do that. I dare you to do that. And we say, that's going to leave a mark. I can go, like my daughter worked for Spring Creek. As wonderful as it smells, that place is a dangerous place with knives flying everywhere and super hot ovens. And anybody who's worked at Spring Creek, without fail, I said, show me your battle scars. Well, right here, I was cutting meat one day and got my manager's cutting open a box, and Bethany can show you a scar that took a couple stitches on her arm. She can show you burn marks. That's going to leave a mark. One day when we were moving into our house on Andrea Court when we still lived in River Oaks, and we're moving in there and trying to get the house ready. She was tearing around. I think it was Alyssa. Alyssa Landers probably inspired her to do this, but they were running through the house recklessly, even though I had said there's stuff everywhere, don't run through the house. And I had a roll of roof flashing. And Bethany just happened to catch the corner of that on her knee. To this day, my lovely oldest daughter can go, "That's where I cut my knee on the roof flashing when Dad told me not to run through the house." It's going to leave a mark. She's got marks. I've got marks on my body where I cut myself doing grocery and burned myself and so on and so forth. And we all can look back and say, yeah, I bear the marks. There's some marks. It's going to leave a mark. Now, let me tell you, this is a great mark. He says, having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, what's this idea about a seal? Back in the time when this was written, here's what they conceived of as a seal. They would take wax. Let's say they wrote a letter. And some of you have seen Robin Hood and things like that, and you saw the king do this. And they would write a letter, and then they would dribble wax on that. And while it was still soft, the king would take his signet ring and impress it into there. And here's what it was saying. If anybody but who I send this to opens this, he can die under order of the king. This is serious stuff. When Jesus was laid in that borrowed tomb, they rolled a stone over it, and then they set a royal or a Roman seal on it, which basically said, if this is broken, somebody's in trouble. Well, the person who broke it did it from the inside. The seal was broken. It was an inside job. What are they going to do? Hit me if you can find an opening, right? Jesus was risen from the dead, and He defied the seal of the Roman government. But I want to here to tell you that when a person is born again, there is a mark that's placed upon them. It is a mark that the enemy recognizes. Every demon on unclean spirit in the earthly realm recognizes. Every heavenly host recognizes it and sees it, that says, this one was born again. This one, the work of the Spirit has occurred, and this person has placed their faith in Christ, and there's now a mark on them. And this mark, this signet, this seal, is to speak something not only to the eternal realm, but here's what it's supposed to say to us. It's supposed to say to us, you have been born again. Now, that's not all there is to this. How many of you were one day, once upon a time, were born? Huh? Obviously, a few things have happened since then. Right? We have grown physically. Right? Some of you I have watched before my very eyes go from 9 years old into college. And it's like, whoa. Amazing, the stature, the hair that grows out on people, all kinds of stuff, all the transformation and change when these cute little cherubic babies turn into us. And sometimes it's downright scary. But we see the change. We see the transformation, and we see the growth. There's something that once we're born again in Christ, there's an intention and a predestination for us to be conformed into His image. There's still a whole lot of things that need to happen. That's wonderful that you were born again. When a person is born again, the mark of God is placed upon their life. The mark of God that says this one has confessed Christ as Savior and spiritual life has been implanted in them. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to keep going on in order for us to come into something called the inheritance. Amen? The inheritance. When you are born again, you are born again to a rich inheritance, but you are, and there is a guarantee of that rich inheritance that's set aside for you, but there is something that you need to do. There's alignment that needs to come into your life so that you can mature and grow up into that inheritance. Are you with me? Sometimes this is a little bit of a stretch. So, we need to understand that God is working largely in Jews and Gentiles who are coming by faith, those who are included, and He has marked us with the Holy Spirit, and He is calling us into the inheritance. The inheritance. Everybody say the inheritance. How many of you have heard the stories of those rich uncles and aunts? How many of you wish you had one of those, a long-lost one that did a search and found you and just gave you $10 million and you had no clue who that was? All of us are kind of hoping for something like that. I know I am. Who's going to have mercy on me? Who's going to just come out of the blue and do that? We hear those stories of inheritance. We hear that. Have you ever heard of somebody being disinherited? You ever watched the movies that tell the story about the crotchety old aunt or the crotchety strange uncle that is constantly threatening those that are written into his will? I'll tell you what, you don't line up, I'm disinheriting you. Okay, I want you to understand something. God has provided an inheritance, and all we have to do is align with it and receive it. He is not beating us over the head like a crotchety old uncle and a crabby old aunt and saying, well, I've just found a reason. I'm going to write you out of the will. Now, what's that supposed to do with us? Doesn't that give you some relief to know that God's not looking for some reason to knock you out? Okay? That's supposed to bring assurance. I'm not saying that we can't decide that this gig is not for us and we can't walk away. Because biblically, the book of Hebrews, I can give you abundant evidence that there are people who were born again and yet turned away from their inheritance and decided this world was all the inheritance they wanted. And they abandoned and turned their back on Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But if you read the book of Hebrews, you read the book of Romans, you'll come across this evidence. Now, help us to understand, though, that God is not sitting there saying, give me just one excuse, I'm writing you off. You know what God's doing? Give me one excuse, I'll have mercy. Give me one chance, and I'll come through, and I'll touch you. Just repent. Just confess. Just come to me. Just come after me. He says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Right? If you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And tucked away in this idea of this deposit, listen to what He says. He's a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. And look at all of the things that God has put on. And this is just a down payment. How about this? Not only born again, but baptized in the Holy Spirit. How's that? What's it called? Part of the down payment. How about healing for our physical bodies? Is that the end? No. That's just a earnest money deposit down payment that shows us the heart of the Father. What about deliverance? Setting us free. Breaking every hold and strategy of the enemy. Throwing down principalities and powers that are oppressing us. Exposing hidden works of darkness. I mean to tell you, God has a wonderful package of grace that He's pouring into His church, into His people, into our lives, the rich resources of His Word, the accompanying tutorship of the Holy Spirit who can take us into this Word and make it come alive in our life. Isn't that amazing? Give the Lord a hand clap. But you know what? That's just a small down payment. It's not even close to the glory that's awaiting. If you think this is awesome, man, heaven is going to blow our minds. He said it this way in Corinthians, eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed this by His Spirit. Isn't the Holy Spirit so wonderful? Isn't He so wonderful? Jesus said, I must go away so I can give you another comforter, and he will lead you into all truth, and he'll take everything which has been given to me, and he'll begin to impart it into you. He will fellowship with you. He knows how to bring you into your inheritance. He knows how to grow you up. He knows how to lead you. He knows how to check you. He knows how to convict you. He knows how to push back the enemy. He knows how to bring a fundamental change and transformation into the very core of who you are. He knows the DNA, and he knows how to change DNA. He knows how to root out the disease of sin, and he knows how to shape and change and transform your life. Give him glory one more time. But that's just a part of the inheritance, the down payment of the inheritance. That's just the down payment. Does God know how to give escrow money or what? Does God know how to do interest or earnest money on a house or what? This is awesome. Now, we need to pick up on something before we close very briefly. The promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until, everybody say until. You know what we're waiting for? Until tells us. This is what it's all about. God's plan. The redemption of those who are God's possession. Now, some of us are saying, yeah, that's me. No, it's not you. This is the nation of Israel. Theologians throughout the history have run into the rocks when they haven't dealt with this properly. And so what we see very clearly, just laid out for us, who is a deposit in guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Who are God's possession? There's three things that are talked about as God's possession. Haaretz, which is the land of Israel. It's the place where he has placed his name, Hashem. It's fascinating, and you can see this. Go to Google Earth. If nothing else you get out of today, go on Google Earth when you get home or sometime. Not while you're driving, please. And look down on Jerusalem on Google Earth, and you will see the Hebrew Shin configured at the southern edge of Jerusalem. They look at that and say, the letter Shin, which is Sh or S, depending on the Dagish, whether it's present or not in that, that letter Shin. Do you know what the Hebrew priests do? And this is where Spock from Star Trek got it. The Hebrew priests will stand there like this and pray a priestly blessing over the people. And they're doing the double sheen. And they're talking about Hashem, the name. They're talking about Elohim. They're talking about Yahweh. And they talk about it by using that letter sheen. That's engraved in the valleys at the southern edge, at the center of the city of David. They come together in the city of David right there. Every Jew can tell you that. They know that. God has chosen to put his name there. The city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel, he calls his possession. Why do things happen so quickly on the earth when people mess with Israel? Because that's God's land. That's the one spot on earth, for whatever reason, that he's God and created everything and said, that's mine right there. That's mine. Watch how you deal with that. And in fact, exiled his people for mishandling his land. And then thirdly, his people. The people of Israel. They are the people. And I'm here to tell you something wonderful. As everything's winding down, it's all about Israel. It's all about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. As this is winding down, God is moving upon the face of the earth. And he is bringing things back. The time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And the time of Israel is coming back because there is something about to break out on the earth. Because I'm here to tell you, I've read the back of the book, and this is going to happen, folks. The entire nation of Israel, millions of them, after they are miraculously rescued by Jesus himself, coming out of the clouds as they saw him go, he is going to destroy their enemies, and every hard-headed, stiff-necked Jew is going to, in one voice, with knees bowed, say, This is Yeshua HaMashiach. This is the Messiah of God, which has been given for our redemption. And it's going to happen in one 24-hour period. Give the Lord a hand clap. It's true. It's true. I'm here to tell you the future. That's still out in the future. And things are building towards that day. And I'm here to tell you something. If you think this is awesome, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Guaranteeing our inheritance until. Everything is hinging and waiting until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. When that day happens, heaven's going to cut loose. When that day heavens, all of heaven is going to flood upon the earth. And there is going to be an amazing release of God's glory. The glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And you think that being in God's service and presence right here today is something else. Just you wait. You haven't seen anything yet. Because when that happens, that's going to be glorious. Everything that He has for us, it's glorious. It's awesome. And we're included under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you blessed? Let's all just stand to our feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed us. You have blessed us. You have blessed us. You have blessed us. So, Lord, we just stand to our feet and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the fullness of your blessing that you have placed upon the earth. Thank you for the fullness of the blessing that you have laid before us, that we who were not a people could be called the people of God. We who are Jews and don't even know it can come to faith in Christ and find ourselves in the mystical, powerful body of Christ. We who are Gentiles and felt no mention. There was no name mentioned of ours on that invitation. And that the servants have come to us and said, the Father wants His house full. You are included if you'll just believe in Him whom He has sent. Thank you, Lord. That it's so simple. It's so simple that a child can do it. We can believe. We can receive. We can accept. We can respond and have that glorious mark of the Holy Spirit placed upon our life that says, new life. Born again. Begun a journey towards an inheritance of the Son of God. Thank you, Lord. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd help this to dawn upon our heart. Some of this is all new information to some of us, and we feel like we're drinking from a fire hose. Some others have felt just affirmed and confirmed. Sometimes we can just sense that stirring of the Spirit, and we're not quite sure what it is. Lord, we just want to thank you. And we just want to thank you for this great gift. And we want to pray this morning for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we want to pray once again that you would put something in our spirit, stir something in our spirit, that we would love that people of Israel enough to whatever we need to do to get to them a declaration of the gospel, we would do it. Whatever it takes to get someone who will declare it in a way that they can receive it to them, that we will partner with that. And Lord, that we would love your city, your people, your land. And we would realize that this is in our future. You have another shoe you're going to drop. You have something that's going to come off of pause and it's going to move forward. And it's your glory being revealed upon the earth through your people, Israel. Lord, we thank you. You have blessed us in the heavenly places. You have poured out blessings immeasurable upon us. And you have invited us to your feast. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be so convicted of that and so energized by that, that we would no longer hold back, but we would share, we would invite, we would bring, we would not underestimate the power of the invitation and the simplicity of the gospel to completely, powerfully change the lives of people. Lord, we thank you for that and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you as you go. Lord bless you as you go. Remember tonight at 4 o'clock, the ladies have Bible study at 6 o'clock. We have youth. You don't want to miss it.